Hello and welcome back to Neely's Bend Baptist Church's Sermon Archive. I'm Austin Jones, the pastor here at Neely's Bend Baptist Church in Madison, Tennessee, and I'm so grateful you've taken the opportunity to listen to our sermons here at Neely's Bend. At Neely's Bend, our mission is that we want to equip people with the gospel so they can live in worship of God and one another fellowship and on mission by making disciples. My hope is that these sermons from Neely's Bend Baptist Church will encourage you with the gospel to live on mission and one another fellowship and in worship of God. If you have any questions about the gospel or Neely's Bend Baptist Church, please feel free to email us at nbbc@neelysbendbaptist.org. Thanks, and we hope you have a great week.
This morning, if you have your copy of God's Word with you, I want to encourage you to open it up to Hebrews chapter 5. Verses 11 through 14. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. We're going to continue our study in the book of Hebrews, and we're going to kind of, as we have been working our way through, we've been seeing that Jesus is the great high priest. And in this passage, the author kind of takes a little pause here and says, "But wait, I need to warn you of something." And so this is an opening of a warning passage that takes up the end of chapter 5 and most of chapter 6. And then in chapter 7, we will come back to how Christ is like Melchizedek again. And so it's really interesting to see all this, but we see it. It's a great little passage here. So Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. And the Word of God says this: "About this, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father God, we thank you so much for Jesus. We thank you so much that we have victory in Jesus, Lord, and that Christ is our solid rock that which we can stand on. God, this morning as we come to your word, Lord, I pray that you will just clear our minds of distractions, of anything that's going on around us, Lord, and help us to see, hear, and understand and believe your word this morning. God, I pray that you help me this morning to preach with simplicity, with clarity, and boldness, and I preach nothing but your word and your word alone. And God, we pray today that you will help us to grow and to be mature Christians. God, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of my sermon today is from Milk to Solids. And as you can see in our passage here, the goal is to go from milk to solids, right? And so the way I want to start it off is by asking you this question. Have you ever been teaching someone something only to realize that they had no clue what you were talking about and you had to go back and reteach them the basic things? You ever had that happen before? I've had that happen before many times whenever I was a teacher in the middle school in Oxford, Alabama. I would be teaching these kids something new the next day after learning a very basic thing to understanding the next thing. And about halfway through it, you would go, "These kids don't understand a lick of what I'm saying. They don't understand nothing that I am teaching them." So you have to say, okay, let's go back to the basic things that we learned last week and start over and then move into it, right? And then you come back to school the next day and you begin teaching them the same thing again. And guess what? They have forgotten it all over again. Sometimes this happens even in the workplace. Your company hires a new employee and they say, hey, we need you to train this person. Can you train this person? Yeah, we can do that. You start to train them, you train them, and you train them. And then about a week later, they walk up to you and say, now what was I supposed to do? I done forgot what I was supposed to do. Can you tell me again? And you have to tell them again and again and again. It happens. And ultimately, it becomes down to the type of person they are. Because some people, you can teach them and they remember, right? They remember, they understand it, they get it, they take it to heart, they internalize it, and they learn. This is very much like our passage is talking about today. Two types of people. You have a responsible person, and you have an unresponsible person. And when I say responsible, I mean a person that is taking responsibility for their learning, and someone who is not taking responsibility for their learning. A lazy person versus a person that is not lazy, if that makes any sense to you. And so these two types of people is what we see. And we're essentially going to see two types of Christians. Christians that are unresponsible and Christians that are responsible. Another way of saying it, the way our passage kind of teaches it, is that we see that there are sluggish Christians and there are mature Christians. And I use the word sluggish here because this is the word that our passage uses to describe those who are immature and unresponsible and childish in the faith. Our passage is ultimately teaching us today that we as Christians should and must have a responsibility, a desire, a craving to want to learn more than just the basic things of God's Word, the basic principles of God's Word. I think in our day and age, we have too many Christians who choose not to think more than they want to, or more than they have to. We have a bunch of lazy, sluggish Christians in our day, in our world today. And when I say this, I mean just the global church, okay? Understand me, the global church. Christians who just want to know the basics, they want to just nibble at solid food, if that makes sense. They don't want to take bites. It's like they want some Cheerios in their milk. Just a little solid food, but not too much. But church, I want to tell you that we need Christians who want to take big, big bites of solid food. They want to take a bite of that spiritual steak and chew it and chew it and chew it and taste every flavor of it. To understand it, to know it. Christians that will take bites of God's Word and chew on it and learn the deeper truths of God's Word. This was a big problem in the early church, the early Hebrew church that they were having. They had people in the church that was childish, that were sluggish, that were immature. And they were not willing to take responsibility and wanting to learn and desiring to learn more of God's Word. So church, I ask you this morning, when was the last time you took responsibility to learn, to sit down and read God's Word and discover something new, to learn deeper truths of God's Word? Are you responsible in trying to learn more of God's Word? Or are you just sticking to the basics and what you know? Church, I want you this morning to know that God has called you and He desires for you to want to learn more of His Word. To want to learn more of his deeper truths of this word right here. God wants you to know the deep truths of God's word. And our passage today clearly demonstrates that for us. So today in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14, the author details two types of Christians, the sluggish Christian and the mature Christian. And the first type of Christian that we see is the sluggish Christians. Sluggish Christians. If you go back and you look at verses 11 through 14, we essentially see three descriptions of sluggish Christians. And the first description we see comes from verse 11. And it says, "About this we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing." Dull of hearing. Sluggish Christians are dull of hearing. I want you to write that down. Because I want you to know that. That sluggish Christians are dull of hearing. The Greek word for dull here in this passage can actually be translated also as sluggish. This passage, you get to, I think it's Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12, we also see this word sluggish. And it's kind of a bookend to this passage. You got sluggish at the beginning, sluggish at the end, and he's bookending it with the word sluggish, dull. Another way it can be translated is lazy. So I hope you're beginning to get the picture here. These people that he is writing this letter to have become lazy, they become sluggish, and they become dull of hearing. They're not actively trying to learn, trying to hear in order to learn. Have you ever met someone like that? Maybe you talk to a child and you're trying to teach them something. I have a 2-year-old right now, and I can tell her some things sometimes, and sometimes, let me tell you, she doesn't hear me. But in order for her to learn, what does she have to do? She has to hear me, correct? She has to listen. She has to hear. Sometimes she's just lazily hearing me. And maybe you've talked to people like that. They're just lazily hearing you. They aren't listening to you to learn or to get better. As a matter of fact, they probably aren't listening to you at all. They're dull of hearing. And what this really just goes to show is that they are unwilling to learn. And the author here is saying that this Hebrew church, this early Hebrew church, they don't want to learn these deeper truths of God's word, or else they wouldn't be dull of hearing. And one of those deeper truths of God's word that the author is trying to teach is the priesthood of Christ. And how Melchizedek plays a role in all of this. If you remember from last week, that's what we talked about, right? How Christ is the priest king. If you remember, Melchizedek was a king priest. He was a priest king. And Christ is the great high priest king. But it was hard for the Hebrew church to understand that because they were dull of hearing. Which is why he says, verse 11, "About this we have much to say, and it is hard to explain." Why is it hard to explain? Because they're dull of hearing. They're lazy. They're sluggish of hearing. They don't want to learn more. Sluggish Christians are sluggish hearers. Sluggish Christians don't want to learn. Sluggish Christians are lazy. And I believe this is a major problem in the church today, the global church today. We have too many sluggish Christians. Christians that don't want to dig deep into God's Word and learn for themselves the deep truths of God's Word. Christians that don't want to listen and learn from others that are more knowledgeable in the faith. Unwilling to participate in smaller groups, unwilling to be in Sunday school or other services throughout the week where they can learn more. And this has ultimately created an epidemic or a pandemic, whichever word you want to use, in the church. Let me tell you why. The global church is at a lack of leaders. It's out of lack of teachers. It's out of lack of pastors. There are hundreds of churches without pastors. I don't think people realize that. There is hundreds of churches that don't have pastors because we don't have men that are willing to step up and to learn to be a pastor. We don't have women who are willing to learn to grow up and to become leaders in the church. When I say leaders in the church, I don't mean pastors. I just mean faithful women that are willing to teach and to lead. And I believe that the reason we have this problem is a result of sluggish Christians. Christians that have become dull of hearing. And it ultimately leads to the second description of sluggish Christians. Sluggish Christians can't disciple. Sluggish Christians can't disciple. The second description we see is they can't disciple others. If you look at verse 12 here, he says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you ought to be teachers, but you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God." The author here is saying, because you are dull of hearing, because you are sluggish, because you are lazy, you have failed to learn and remember what you have been taught. As a matter of fact, you should be the ones that are teaching others now. You should be the one that is discipling others now. But you can't, because you are having to be retaught the basic principles of God's Word. Now, when the author uses the word teachers here, I want you to know that he's not meaning someone that is teaching a class. He's not meaning someone who is a pastor of a church. He's not meaning anything like that. He simply means someone else teaching another person, one another. The Bible talks about the one another's, large tons of one another's, but one of those one another's is teach one another. That's the goal. That's what we should be doing. Having one-on-one personal conversations about God's Word and the basic principles of His Word. The author simply means discipleship, discipling one another. And sluggish Christians, they can't do this. Sluggish Christians cannot teach others the basic principles of God's Word because they don't know themselves the basic principles of God's Word. And they're having to be retaught those principles. Sluggish Christians don't remember. They don't internalize the basic principles of the faith. And because of that, they can't disciple. You think about the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20, teaches us to go, therefore, and make disciples. It is a command for us to go, therefore, and make disciples. Our mission here at Neely's Bend is to equip people with the gospel of Jesus. And at the end of it, it says to live on mission by making disciples. Church, if we are living as sluggish Christians, Christians that are dull of hearing, lazy in learning, we cannot follow this command. We cannot disciple and train up others in the faith. And when we can't do that, what do you think is going to happen to those new believers in the faith? They're not going to learn the deep truths of God's Word. Because we don't have anyone to teach them. And this creates a pandemic of the church not having enough leaders and teachers and pastors to serve in roles in the church. The third description we see is sluggish Christians are like a child that lives on milk. Sluggish Christians are like a child that lives on milk. So if you look at the end of verse 12 here, it says, you need milk, not solid food. And he goes on, well, I highlighted it there for you. Go on to the next verse. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. The author here has took the thermostat, and he's turned that thermostat up really hot. He has heated up this argument that he is making. He has brought the heat out, and he brings out this illustration with the use of a child who drinks milk rather than eating solid food. And what he is saying is that because you are a sluggish Christian, because you are a child in the faith, you need milk. You can't eat the solid food because you haven't grown up enough in the faith to understand the deep truths of Scripture. You barely understand the basics, and apparently you don't remember the basics because we're having to reteach them to you again. Continue to give you that milk. These people are like babies drinking milk. You may think, well, that's offensive. It's meant to be offensive. I hope it is offensive, if I'm honest. It's meant to be offensive. The author of this passage, he wants to offend them. He wants to offend them by calling them a child, a baby that hasn't graduated from milk to solid foods. These people are still drinking spiritual milk rather than eating spiritual steaks. Sluggish Christians live on milk and don't eat solid food. But what is this milk that he is speaking of? The author actually gives us an answer in chapter 6, verses 1 through 2, and we'll talk more about this next week. But spiritual milk is this. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine, the basic principles of Christ, and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God and of instruction about washings and laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. This was considered milk, according to the Hebrew author. The author is saying here in verse 1 that we need to leave the elementary doctrine and move on to maturity. Because if we don't, we will continue to be unskilled in the word of righteousness. Unskilled in the word of righteousness. Because sluggish Christians that drink milk are unskilled in that. Now what exactly is this word of righteousness? Do you mind going back to verse 12 for me there? I know you had to click back. Okay, next verse. Go to 13. There it is. To everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. So what exactly is this word of righteousness? And I believe it refers to two things. I believe it refers to the message of salvation and living righteously because of the message of salvation. So kind of a twofold thing. The message of salvation is simply the good news of Jesus Christ, right? This is the gospel. The gospel, as we learned several weeks ago, God, man, Christ, response, right? It's the way that leads one to becoming righteous through Jesus. But I also believe it includes that of righteous living because we have been made righteous in Christ. Because we have been made righteous by Christ, we then want to and desire to live righteous. Because of the message of salvation, because of the gospel, you respond by believing and repenting of sins and living righteously. That's the message of righteousness. And this morning, if you have never believed that message or word of righteousness, I want you to know that today you can do that. That today the gospel is at hand. The kingdom is here, and all you have to do is believe and repent of your sins and trust in Jesus as Savior and Lord of your life, and He will save you. And you will become a child in the faith. one that we hope will grow on to become a mature Christian. If that is you this morning, you've never believed in Jesus Christ, never repented of your sins, I want you to know that you can do that today, and I want to encourage you to have a conversation with somebody about what it means to believe in Jesus Christ. Whether that be a faithful family member, a faithful friend, or me when you walk out at the end of a service, I'd love to have a conversation with you about Jesus and what it means to follow Jesus. But before we move on to this next type of Christian, I want to ask you this morning, are you a sluggish Christian? Are you one of these people that the author is describing here? I want you to know that the God's Word is describing this person, not me. Hear me out. This is God's Word teaching this. Are you one of those people that the author is describing here? Are you a sluggish hearer, one that is dull in learning? Can you disciple others by teaching them the truths of God's Word? Are you still drinking milk rather than eating solid foods? Are you a child in the faith? And if you are determining that this is you, then I want you to know that God doesn't want you to stay there. He doesn't want you to stay there. He wants you to press on forward. And I want you to know that you can grow in your faith. You can become a more mature Christian. And the author here has laid out a plan of action for us. A plan of action for you, for becoming a mature Christian. And it's ultimately the exact opposite of what a sluggish Christian is. And so what we're going to do is look at this second type of Christian now. And the second type of Christian is the mature Christians. The mature Christians. And I'm not going to read verse 14 yet, but if you were to read verse 14, you would read that solid food is for the mature. And so we clearly get this comparison, right, between a sluggish Christian and a mature Christian in this passage. And ultimately, the implication here is that the mature Christians are the opposite of sluggish Christians. And so from this passage, we see ultimately three descriptions of mature Christians. And the first description, that is opposite of the sluggish Christian, is that mature Christians don't become dull of hearing and learning. Mature Christians don't become dull of hearing and learning. Mature Christians don't do that. They don't become sluggish in their learning of God's Word. You look back to verse 11, you know, and you see that there. They become dull. Mature Christians, they don't become dull of learning God's Word. These people are those that are willing to learn and willing to understand. This is that co-worker that you have that is really wanting to prove himself. So he is diligent in learning. He's diligent in understanding. He takes notes and he's serious about his job. And he's always trying to do better at his job, always trying to learn new things and asking to be taught new things. That person is not dull of hearing, is he? We need more Christians like this. We need more Christians that are wanting to learn, wanting to understand and know more of God's Word. More Christians that are willing to take notes and be serious about being a Christian. More Christians that are willing to gather around God's Word rather than other things. I'm not saying we can't gather around other things, but God's Word is the most important thing that we have as Christians. And we should want to gather around it in small groups, in large gatherings, in fellowship groups, in any type of group. We should want to gather around God's Word to learn more of His Word. Not just on Sunday, not just on Wednesday, but throughout the week. Mature Christians don't grow dull of hearing and learning God's Word. Mature Christians, they want to learn those deep truths of God's Word. The second description of mature Christians is that mature Christians disciple others. If you go back and look at verse 12, by this you ought to be teachers. And what he said is mature Christians ought to be teachers. Sluggish Christians can't disciple because they don't know and don't remember the basic principles they are having. They don't remember those basic principles and having to be retaught. Mature Christians, they have known, they know the basic principles. They have internalized those basic principles, and those basic principles are now second nature to them. It's like playing a guitar, right? You play it for so long, and what happens? Those chords, all that stuff, it becomes second nature to you. I have no idea how to play a guitar, but I believe it, that it becomes internalized to you, right? Mature Christians know those things. It becomes second nature. And you ask them a question about the gospel, they just spit out an answer because they know it. They understand it. They remember it. And they don't have to be taught again. It has become internalized within them. And because they are like this, they can disciple and teach others. They should be teaching others. The expectation is that they are discipling and teaching others. And earlier I spoke about the pandemic of no leaders and no teachers and no pastors in the church. And this can be solved. This can be fixed. It just involves people being willing to be discipled and people being willing to disciple. And teach others the truths of God's Word. Teach others about the greatness of Jesus, the beauty of Jesus, the salvation that Jesus brings. So many truths in Scriptures. So many truths in the Scripture need to be taught. They aren't taught. And lastly for today, mature Christians eat solid food. Read with me verse 14. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Now, there's a lot happening here. I want you to know that. Mature Christians desire and want solid food. They want it. They want that solid food. They're no longer childlike, but are adults in the faith. They have matured to a point where they can eat that solid food. You give them a spiritual steak, and guess what? They can eat it. They can take a bite and they can chew on it and chew on it and really learn from that spiritual meat. It's not that milk is no longer an option. Because how many of us as adults still drink milk? A lot of us, right? We still need milk. We still need those basic principles of God's Word. But you know what? We also need the steak, the solid food. Our nutrition is no longer the basic principles of God's Word, but it is the deep truths of God's Word. Deep truths such as Christ being the great high priest king after the order of Melchizedek, as we learned last week. But why is it so important for us as Christians to grow in our faith from milk to solid food? If you look again at verse 14, but solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Mature Christians, they have powers of discernment that are immature, that immature, childlike Christians don't have. And this discernment helps them to know good from evil. If you really think about it, discernment goes into every decision we make throughout our day, don't it? Now you think about a child, right? Think about a baby. They can't discern anything, can they? And then as they grow up, they get a little older, and you know they're 2 years old, 4 or 5 years old, 6, 7 years old. They can discern things, right? They can discern some good from evil, but their discernment is a little bit flawed, right? But then as they grow older and older and older, and they become adults, and now, we would say that in our day and age, there's a lot of adults out here that can't discern anything. But as you become adults, you begin to discern more, right? Because you've gained experience. As our passage says here, trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Practice. We discern all the time. The Hebrew church, they had kind of quit discerning. As a matter of fact, they just started to discern the other way. They wanted to discern the evil way. And what I mean by that is, we've seen many times the reason that the author of Hebrews is showing that Jesus is greater than the angels, greater than Moses, greater than Joshua, and now greater than the high priest, is because he wants them to discern that Jesus is greater, that Jesus is good, right? Because if they don't discern that Jesus is greater and that Jesus is good, then where are they going to go to? They're going to go where? Back to the Old Testament. Back to the Levitical priests. Back to the Old Testament priests. Where they have to have a sacrifice every single year. But Jesus died once, right? Once for all. And he's trying to show them the beauty of Jesus Christ. How he is the good. How he's the good. And how continuing in Christ would be the good thing to do, because it is through Christ now that we have salvation and forgiveness of sins. Discernment of Scripture and how we should live according to Scripture is where the author is going here. And it ultimately means that every decision of our lives must be a discerning decision. I believe in a biblical worldview. And what I mean by that is, here's how I see the world. I look through God's Word, and that explains the world to me. Does that make sense? The news don't tell me what I believe. My parents don't tell me what I believe. The culture, the society doesn't tell me what I believe. God's holy word tells me what to believe about the world and what is happening. I look through the Bible. It's called a biblical worldview. Discernment. Discernment comes from the Bible. And in our day and time, with all the medical advances, all the technology, all the science we have, all the ethical issues we face, we need mature Christians that can determine, that can discern good from evil. And this discernment comes as one grows in maturity, as one practices. Mature Christians gain their powers. That feels weird to say, don't it? It feels very weird to say. I'm not saying it. Scripture's saying it. Their powers of discernment. It's a power. That's what the Word is teaching here. Discernment is a power to help you determine good from evil. Always be practicing discernment. Discerning people are thinking people. Discerning people are thinking people. And the church today needs more people that are thinkers, that are discerners. We don't have enough Christians that like to think. Mature Christians think. They think about God's Word. They think deeply about God's Word. And it helps them to discern what is good from evil. It helps them to have a right understanding of God's Word. Do you consider yourself to be a person that desires and craves to know more of God's Word and His truths? The deeper truths of His Word. Do you desire and want to learn those things? The ultimate question it comes down to is, are you a mature Christian? And that can be hard to answer, right? But I think our passage gives us a way of understanding how to answer that question. In our sermon today, we've learned two types of Christians. The first is the sluggish Christian, the one that is dull of learning. They can't disciple others because they don't know the basic principles of God's Word, and they are like a child that lives on milk, unskilled in the Word of righteousness. And the second type is the mature Christian, the one that seeks to not become dull of learning, is always wanting to learn more, to study more. They can disciple others because they know and have internalized the basic principles of God's Word. And because they are mature, they can eat the solid food and they have powers of discernment. Which one are you today? Are you the sluggish Christian? And I know I'm saying that word sluggish, and I know that the word sluggish is not the greatest of words to use, but you know what? It's a word that hurts when you hear it, don't it? Because if it describes you, it's going to hurt a little bit, and I hope it does. If someone called me and told me that I was a slug, I would be offended. Right? I would be hurt. Scripture is saying and asking you today, are you a sluggish Christian? Or are you a mature Christian? And regardless of whichever you are, I want you to know that you are still a Christian. Notice the last word on both of those phrases. Sluggish, what? Christian. Mature, what? Christian. And the reason for that, because we all can grow. We can all grow. A very, very good reason for this difference is for growth. And the reason we want to always be growing in our faith, growing to maturity, is because it helps us from falling back into apostasy. This passage here, beginning in verse 11, going all the way through most of chapter 6, is a passage that is a warning against apostasy. And if you remember, and I've said this before, the Hebrew church was facing this very, very really. They were being persecuted by outsiders, and they were being told, hey, if you just give up Jesus and you go back to the old way, then you won't be persecuted, right? It's easy to do that. Very easy for them to do that. It was hard. It was challenging for them to continue to believe in Jesus. And so the author here is saying, grow up. Grow up. Because if you don't grow up, you are at risk of apostasy, of rejecting Christ, abandoning Jesus. And so what he's saying here is these sluggish Christians that have grown dull of hearing, and they can't remember all of these basic principles, and drinking that spiritual milk like a child, are at risk of apostasy. The truth hasn't been internalized. Therefore, growth from spiritual milk to spiritual solid food is necessary for the Christian life. It's what God wants from us. Growth. Growth. And we as Christians must be responsible Christians. We must be responsible for our own learning. We must take decisions daily to read and study God's Word. We must make decisions to be a learner by becoming and being involved in activities such as Sunday school and other weekly opportunities to learn. We are responsible for our own learning. And we're either going to be a sluggish Christian or we're going to be a mature Christian. You have to determine which it will be. I read this in a commentary this week. The guy says this. He says, the truth is, there is simply no such thing as a static Christian. So hear me when I say that. There's no such thing as a static Christian. We are either moving forward or we're falling back. We're either climbing or we're falling down. We're either winning or we're losing. Static Christianity is a delusion. So church, I want to encourage you today to not be a static Christian. I want to encourage you to keep moving forward in the faith, to keep climbing in the faith, and to keep winning in the faith, and to keep growing to become and to be a mature Christian. And let me tell you, even when you get to maturity, you keep climbing, you keep pressing forward, and you keep moving and growing in the faith. We never stop growing. Never stop growing. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity this morning to read your word from Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14, Lord, and to understand that you have called us these things, Lord. We thank you for this description, Lord, of how you have helped us to understand our lives. Lord, James tells us that we should look into the mirror, Lord. And God, I pray that we just look into the mirror this morning and we just try to understand. Who are we? Are we sluggish Christians? Am I a sluggish Christian or am I a mature Christian? Am I seeking to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, or am I just a static Christian? One that's falling. God, I pray that you help us all this week, Lord, and throughout the rest of our lives to always be growing in our faith, to always be moving forward, to always be climbing, Lord. Because that's what you've called us to do, Lord, to be mature Christians. That we will take in the milk, Lord, and we will remember those basic truths, Lord, but then we will internalize those things and move ahead to the spiritual stakes. We will chew on it and chew on it and learn from it. Because that's what you've called us to, God. That's what you've called us to. Dear God, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.